on the subject of the virtue of setting off on a journey on a Thursday morning. Let us start by reading a hadith regarding honesty is the best policy. The hadith tells us, I, Abdullah, the son of Ka'b, the guide of Ka'b, son of Malik, who was blind, heard him say, I, Ka'b, accompanied the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, in every campaign except Tabuk. I did not accompany the Messenger of Allah at Badr, and at that time he did not blame anyone who did not accompany him. The Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, and his companions had been observing a Quraysh caravan when Allah ordained an unexpected clash to occur between them and their enemies. However, I was present with the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, during the night of Aqaba, when we pledged our oath of complete adherence to Islam, and I would not exchange Aqaba for Badr with all its fame. As for my failure to accompany the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, at the campaign of Tabuk, I will tell you. At that time, I was stronger and more affluent than at any other time. I had 2 riding camels. Before that time, I never owned 2. It was the practice of the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, that whenever he decided to embark upon a campaign, not to disclose his real objective. In fact, he would say the opposite until the last moment. However, on this occasion, because it was the season of intense heat and the journey was going to be long across the desert and the enemy were great in strength, he warned his companions clearly and told them of his objective so that they were able to make adequate preparations. The number of those who prepared themselves ready to accompany the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, was also large, and a register had not yet been established to list all of them. No man, reluctant to go, imagined that his absence would go unnoticed unless it was disclosed by Allah. It was a time when the fruit was on the trees and they had ripened, and the shade was dense. This too crossed my mind. The Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, and his companions who were to accompany him occupied themselves with their preparations. I would go out in the morning intending to do the same with them, only to return later without accomplishing anything, saying to myself, there is plenty of time. I can get ready whenever I wish. Time passed and the companions completed their preparations. Then, one day, the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, set out on his march. I had done nothing to prepare myself. I remained in my indecisive state without accomplishing anything, while the companions set off on their march. I thought I would set off by myself and overtake them. How I wish I had done so, but I did not. As I went about the town, it grieved me to notice that among those who remained at home like me were only those who were either suspected of hypocrisy or excused on account of age or something similar. The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, made no mention of me until after he reached Tabuk. One day, when he was sitting with his companions, he inquired, "What has happened to Ka'b, the son of Malik?" Someone among the Bani Salama said, O Messenger of Allah, he did not come because of his 2 cloaks and admiration for his finery. Upon hearing this, Muaz, the son of Jabal, said, Evil is what you have said, O Messenger of Allah, we know nothing about him except good. The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, did not comment. It was at that time that the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, observed someone at the distance in the desert clad in white and exclaimed, Maybe it is Abu Qasayma. And he was right. Abu Qasayma had been taken for a beggar by the hypocrites on account of that he gave a small quantity of dates in charity. When I learned that the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, was on his way back from Tabuk, I was filled with anxiety and began to fabricate false excuses in my mind to help save myself from his anger. Also, I consulted members of my family whose judgment I trusted. When I heard that the Prophet's praise and peace be upon him arrival was imminent, I realized that no false excuse would help me. Therefore, I decided to tell the truth. He arrived the next morning. When he returned from the journey, it was his custom to go straight to the mosque and offer two voluntary units of prayer, and then meet the people. He did the same on this occasion, and those who did not partake in the campaign came forward and began on earth to give their excuses. There were over 80 people, and the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, accepted their excuses and renewed their oaths. Then he prayed for forgiveness for them and committed to Allah what they had in their minds. When it came to my turn, I greeted him. He smiled, but displeasure was visible in his smile, and he said, "Come forward." So I stepped forward and sat down before him. He asked, "What kept you back? Had you not purchased your mount?" I replied, "O Messenger of Allah, if I had been confronted by someone other than yourself, such as a man of the world, I could easily escape his displeasure with some excuse, because I am gifted with the skill of plausibility. However, I know that if I were to concoct a false story to you today, which might even convince you, without doubt, Allah would soon arouse your anger against me over something else. But if I tell you the truth and you are angry with me, I can still hope for the mercy of Allah, the Exalted. By Allah, I have no excuse. I was never stronger nor more affluent than when I held back from accompanying you." The Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, said, "This one has told the truth. Now withdraw until Allah decides your case." Some men from the children of Salama followed me out of the mosque and said, "We have never known you to commit a sin like this before. Why didn't you offer an excuse to the Messenger of Allah, like the others who did not take part in the campaign? Your sin would have been forgiven through the supplication of the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him." They persisted in reproaching me so harshly that I almost went back to the Messenger of Allah to withdraw my confession. Then I asked, "Are there any cases similar to mine?" They replied, "Mura, the son of Rabia Amiri, and Hilal, the son of Umayyah Waqifi." When they mentioned these two righteous men that had participated in the Battle of Badr and possessed many good qualities, I was strengthened in my decision. The Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, directed his companions not to speak to the three of us. People avoided us as if we were strangers, and I felt as if I was in a strange land. This state of affairs continued for 50 days. My two companions were so overcome by misery and shame that they went into seclusion, shutting themselves away in their homes. Being the youngest and toughest of the three, I would go out and join my fellow Muslims for prayers and walk in the streets, although no one would speak to me. I would wait before the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, when he sat down in the mosque after the prayer and greet him, wondering whether he had moved his lips to return my greeting. During the prayer, I would stand near him and notice that he would glance in my direction when I was praying and look away when I looked in his direction. Feeling anguish and deeply hurt by the harshness of Muslims towards me, one day I went and climbed over the garden wall belonging to my cousin Abu Qatada, of whom I was very fond. I greeted him, but he did not return my greeting. I said to him, "Abu Qatada, I ask you, in the name of Allah, do you not know that I love Allah and His Messenger?" But he remained silent. I repeated my earnest question, but he still did not reply. I asked a third time, and he replied, "Allah and His Messenger know best." When I heard this, I burst into tears and I returned home. One day, I was in the marketplace of Medina when I heard a Syrian peasant who had brought grain to sell ask, "Would somebody direct me to Ka'ab, the son of Malik?" The people pointed in my direction, and he came to me and handed me a letter from King Ghassan. Being literate, I read it. It read, "We have heard that your master has treated you unjustly. Allah has not made you to be humiliated or maltreated. Come over to us, and we shall receive you graciously." Upon this, I said to myself, "This is another trial," and I threw it in the oven. After 40 days or 50 of the 50 had elapsed without any indication of in a revelation concerning us, the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, came to me and said, "The Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, directs you not to associate with your wife." I inquired, "Should I divorce her or what should I do?" He replied, "No, just do not associate with her. I understand that my two companions had been directed likewise." So I told my wife to go to her parents and remain with them until Allah determined the matter. The wife of Hilal, son of Umayyah, went to the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, and said, "O Messenger of Allah, Hilal, the son of Umayyah, is old and unable to look after himself, and he does not have a servant. Would it displease you if I were to serve him?" He replied, "No, but you should not associate with him." She told the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, "Ever since this happened, he has had no interest in me and weeps continuously. Some of my people suggested to me that I should seek the same permission of the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, so that my wife may also look after me as the wife of Hilal bin Umayyah did. But I did not ask the Messenger of Allah for this because I did not know what he might say, and besides that, I was young." 10 more days and nights passed like this. On the 51st morning, after the dawn prayer, I was sitting at home feeling sad, and although the world is wide, Allah the Exalted describes it, it seemed to have become narrow and small for me. Suddenly, I heard someone shout at the top of his voice from a mountain of Salah, "O Ka'ab, son of Malik, good news!" Immediately, I fell down prostrate and realized that relief had come. At the dawn prayer, the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, informed the companions that Allah the Exalted had graciously accepted our repentance, and upon hearing this, several people set off to convey the good news to us. Some went to my two companions, and another hastened on his horse in the direction of my home. One from the tribe of Aslam raced to up the mountain, and his voice reached me before the arrival of the horsemen. When the one whose voice I had heard arrived to congratulate me, I took off my garments and I gave them to them. I had no other set of garments to wear, so I borrowed some and went off to greet the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him. On my way to the Messenger of Allah, I encountered groups and crowds of people who congratulated me, saying, "Blessed is the acceptance of Allah of your repentance." When I entered the mosque, I found the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, seated, surrounded by people. Amongst them was Talha, the son of Ubaidullah, who got up and rushed towards me, shook my hand and congratulated me. He was the only one of the immigrants who got up, and I have never forgotten his gesture. When I greeted the Messenger of Allah, his face shone with joy and said, "Be happy with this, the best of your days since your mother gave birth to you." I asked, "O Messenger of Allah, is this from you or from Allah?" He answered, "It is indeed from Allah." When he was happy, it was usual for his happiness and his face to shine, as if it were part of the moon. When this happened, we knew that he was pleased. To complete my repentance, I offer to give the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, all my possessions as charity in the cause of Allah and his Messenger. He told me, retain part of it, that is better for you. So I said, I shall retain a portion which is in Khyber. Then I said, O Messenger of Allah, Allah the Exalted has delivered me only because I adhered to the truth, and as part of my repentance I shall say nothing but the truth for the rest of my life. Ever since I declared this before the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, Allah the Exalted has not tried anyone so well in the matter of truthfulness as he has tried for me. To this day, since my declaration, I have never had any inclination to tell a lie, and Allah willing, I will continue to protect myself against it during the remaining days of my life. Allah the Exalted revealed, in the hour of adversity, Allah turned bracket in his mercy bracket to the Prophet, the immigrants bracket of Mecca bracket, and the supporters bracket of Medina bracket, who followed him, when some of their hearts were about to swerve away. He turned to them, indeed, he is gentle, the most merciful. And to the three who have been left behind, bracket, at the Battle of Tabuk, bracket, until the earth became narrow with all its vastness, and their souls became narrow for them, they knew there was no shelter from Allah except in him. Then he turned to them, bracket, in mercy, bracket, so that they might also turn, bracket, in repentance, bracket. Allah is eternal, the most merciful. Believers, fear Allah and stand with the truthful. Chapter 9, verses 117 to 119. Ka'ab continued, after Allah had guided me to Islam, my greatest blessing was when I told the truth to the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him. Lying to him, as the others lied, would have only caused my ruination. In his revelation, Allah condemns those who indulge in lying, saying, when you return, they will apologize to you, saying, make no excuses, we will not believe you. Allah has already told us of your news. Surely, Allah and his messenger will see your work. Then you will be returned to the knower of the unseen and the visible, and he will inform you of what you are doing. When you return, they will swear to you by Allah that you might turn aside from them. Let them alone. They are unclean. Gehenna, bracket, hell, bracket, shall be their refuge, a recompense for their earnings. Chapter 9, verse 94 to 95. Ka'ab said, the matter of the three of us had been left in the balance, separated from the matter of those who had made excuses on oath before the Messenger of Allah, and which he had accepted, renewing their covenant, and for whom he supplicated for forgiveness. The Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, kept our matter pending until Allah determined it with, and to the three who were left behind, bracket, at the Battle of Tabuk, bracket, until the earth became narrow with all its vastness, and their souls became narrow for them, they knew there was no shelter from Allah except in him. Then he turned to them, bracket, in mercy, bracket, so that they might also turn, bracket, in repentance, bracket. Allah is eternal, the most merciful. Chapter 9, 118. It does not mean that we lagged behind from jihad, but it means that Allah deferred our cases until after the cases of those who had pleaded on oath before the Messenger of Allah, and he had accepted their excuses. In another narration, it's added, the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, set out for Tabuk on a Thursday. His preference was to set out on a journey on Thursdays. In another narration, it tells us that it was a practice to return from a journey during daylight, before noon. Upon his arrival, he would go immediately to the mosque and offer 2 units of voluntary prayer. Then he would sit down and receive the people.